parties, we gather with friends and family, we cook, we bake, we give gifts, we receive gifts, the music. There are things that we do that we only do this time of year. At Christmas, we celebrate. That's what it boils down to. We celebrate. And it's easy, however, to forget exactly what it is that we celebrate. We can forget. We can forget. Under all the layers of wrapping paper and gallons of eggnog, the many traditions and busyness of the season, Christmas is the celebration of the Incarnation. That's what it's all about. At Christmas, we celebrate that God has come to us in love to save us. In fact, if you don't get anything else I say today beyond the reading of God's Word, I want you to get this. We were helpless to save ourselves. So in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus to save us. Matthew and Luke open their gospel with a record of the birth of Jesus, each capturing unique events surrounding His nativity. We're reminded in the true story of Christmas that God stepped into the brokenness of our world as a child. John, however, goes back much further with a poetic retelling of God's creation to make a really important connection. For all the wonderful ways that we celebrate the season, it's this connection that John makes at the opening of his gospel that reminds us exactly who, what, and why we celebrate. So I want you to turn this morning in your Bible, or you can open your YouVersion Bible app, to John's Gospel chapter 1. That's where we'll begin studying from today. John's Gospel, chapter 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Father, Your Word is beautiful and powerful. Your Word bears witness to the light of truth, the light of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray, as Your Word enters our hearing today, that it'll find fertile soil in our hearts, that it'll take root, grow, and bear fruit that honors You and honors the Christ of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, John doesn't waste a drop of ink. He's writing here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word of God, church, became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. Now, I'll forego the formal word study for time this morning, but the Greek word translated word is logos. Logos, however, is so much more. The concept of logos is well known and was well understood within ancient Middle Eastern worldviews. Pro-Socratic philosopher Heraclitus defined the logos as, quote, "the omnipresent wisdom by which all things are steered," end quote. So by framing Jesus as logos, John's gospel pulls together classical and Jewish thought traditions to declare Jesus as Lord, not just of the Jewish people, but of all people. This idea that Jesus is a Jewish God or God help us, an American God. John lays all of that to rest right here by declaring Jesus as the Logos. He is Lord of all people. John tells us that the Word, the second person of the Godhead. When he says the Word, that's who he's talking. He's talking about the second person of the Godhead. He is pre-existent, not created, was present, and participated in the creation of all things. And John's not mincing words here to tell us that the Christ of Christmas is God. Verse 2 says that He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Today, we celebrate the divine Word, the very voice that said, "Let there be light," reduced to the unintelligible coos of an infant. How profound a thought today. The apostle and first century church leader known as Paul, writing to the church of the Philippians, says this, "Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus," and then he says of Jesus in verse 6, "who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." And so what is Paul telling us? Paul, listen, we call this season the season of love, but God calls us to something so much bigger than charitable giving once a year to mark a holiday. He Himself, Jesus Himself, shows us what love looks like. Jesus shows us what love looks like. When we humble ourselves, when we put the needs and interests of others ahead of our own, we are never more like Him. We are never more like Him than when we humble ourselves. And that's the point that Paul's making. That's the point that Paul is making. One night, long ago, in the town of Bethlehem of Judea, God humbled Himself. He became man and gave us the most incredible gift, Himself. Himself. Hope is here because the Word of God became flesh. The divine Word came to us as Emmanuel, God with us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to shine light into darkness and to redeem us. Hope is here. The wonder of God is light in darkness. The wonder of God is light in darkness. John writes here in verse 4 and 5, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5, "The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." What a glorious thing to ponder on Christmas morning amidst the warm glow of Christmas lights. The true wonder of Christmas is the true light of Christmas. The true light of Christmas, church, is Jesus Christ. He's the light of Christmas. Now, I'm not gonna stand up here and say that I was hunky dory last night when I came in here. I was crushed. I was broken. As I sloshed through an inch and a half of water, I wept. I could barely get the words out of my mouth to tell Sue to send Ken here to help. I was broken, hurt. But let me tell you, church, my Christmas is not predicated upon everything going perfectly. My Christmas isn't predicated upon everything working out the way it should work out. My Christmas is predicated on the fact that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He says himself in this very gospel, Jesus says in John chapter 8, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John tells us here that when the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, that the abundant and eternal essence of God became the light of men. You know, some call him a reformer. Some call him a revolutionary. Listen, Jesus was entirely more. Again, John leans heavily into the account of creation from Genesis in verse 4 when he says, in him was life. I want you to consider this morning. Consider here what John is stating. The very source of life, all life, not some life, the very source of life, all life, is born to a Jewish girl. And for a brief time, walked among us. Think about that for a minute. The very source of life walked among us. Was he God? Yes, 100%. Was he a man? Yes, 100%. And I know that can be confusing and hard to wrap your mind around, but that's what makes it a wonder. If it weren't difficult, if our finite little minds could figure it out, if we could wrap our brain around it, it wouldn't be a wonder, would it? It wouldn't be a wonder at all. The wonder of Christmas is that Jesus is the light of the world. And I love the language that John uses in verse 5. It's so much stronger than our English translations can express. Literally, he is saying that the darkness cannot lay hold of or take possession of the light. And that's why when all hell is breaking loose in our world around us, when we walk in to have a Christmas Eve service and we're sloshing in the water, and I'm face-palming myself going, man, are we going to do this again? It doesn't crush our hope. It does not crush our hope. Why? Because the darkness cannot lay hold of or take possession of the light. John tells us that. His infinite life became an infinite light. Look at verse 9. John writes, the true light, which gives life to everyone, was come into the world. His light, it enlightens everyone. Did you notice that? It doesn't just enlighten some, it enlightens everyone. Whether you believe or not, if you're watching this morning, if you're watching later this week, whether you believe or not, you are enjoying the light of Jesus Christ. Whether you acknowledge Him or not, you may be a hardcore atheist. You are basking in the light of Christ. He is a light for everyone. There has never been a time in the history of mankind in which man has walked in darkness. Why? Because He's the light. You say, but Pastor Mike, what about the Dark Ages? Well, that's a fancy little title that we give to a dark period in history. But let me tell you something. The light was shining in the Dark Ages. You say, I don't know how things can get worse than they are today, Pastor Mike. I hear that a lot. Things just keep getting worse and worse. I don't see how they could get worse than they are. Well, let me tell you something. The light is shining. None of this is taking God by surprise. Nothing that's going on in our world is taking God by surprise. Why? Because He's light. And He lights the way for everyone. Jesus is the light. Now listen, some will run to it. And some will run from it. But no one can ignore it. Hope is here because through Jesus the light shines in the darkness of our world and the darkness cannot overcome it. The work of God is the life that the Word came to give. The work of God is the life that the Word came to give. Now Hannah has this tradition We watch the Grinch when we decorate our tree. And not just any Grinch. It has to be the Jim Carrey Grinch movie. She was mortified a few years ago when she was old enough to get all of the kind of innuendos and adult jokes that are in it. When she was old enough to get that, she's like, I never realized that was, oh. We still watch it. When we decorated our tree this year, we had it on. We watch the Grinch when we decorate our tree. Of course, the climax of the movie comes when the Who's down in Whoville wake up on Christmas morning with their houses bare. As they gather in the square to sing, you might recall the Grinch's realization. I had a similar moment last night. Before Ken got here, I was all boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And then I got mad, and you know what? Then I realized, you know what, devil? You can't have my joy. You can't have my joy. You can't have my Christmas. Why? Because the Grinch's revelation became my realization. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? You know, I want to say this morning to you parents and grandparents who brought the kiddos this morning, you did a good thing today. And I know it wasn't easy. I know it wasn't easy. Why? Because we were parents of a kiddo, of a little kiddo once. And we were in church on Christmas Sunday morning when Christmas fell on a Sunday. We know it's not hard. Or we know it's hard. It is hard. It's hard. I get it. But you did a really good thing today. Because you're taking the focus off of the commercialization of Christmas, and you're putting the focus where it needs to be, and that is the Christ of Christmas. You see, Mr. Grinch, it does mean a little bit more. In fact, it means infinitely so much more. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, enters our world one night long ago in Bethlehem to shine the light of God to men. But to what end? In His words, in His deeds, Jesus points the way to God. Indeed, through His vicarious death on the cross, He is the way, the only way, to live eternally in right relationship with God. The Word of God came to do the work that only God could do. He came to give the light that only God could give. Did you get that this morning? He came to give us the light that only God can give. You know, our history is replete with men and women who came to inspire people. It is replete with people who came to incite people. And for all of the men and women who have danced their way through the pages of history, inspiring and inciting people, none of them compare to Jesus. See, He didn't come to inspire and He didn't come to incite. He came to save us. He came to shine the light of God and make the way, to pave the way for God, to bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. The Word of God came to do the work that only God could do. He came to give us the gift that only God could give. Look, beginning at verse 12. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. John says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God." Verse 13, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." What an incredible gift this morning. It's a gift that you can only receive. You can't earn it. There's only one place that it's found, Jesus Christ. There simply is no other name under heaven whereby which men must be saved. The only way to redeem mankind was through sacrifice. And only Jesus met the criteria of an acceptable sacrifice. Jesus and no one else. John says later in 1 John chapter 5, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son, Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. It doesn't get any simpler, any plainer than that. His infinite life became an infinite light, and that infinite light has infinite power, power to make you a child of God. And you may be wondering today, well, isn't everyone a child of God? No. No, they're not. They simply are not. All are His creation. But we live in a broken world where the creation has forgotten its Creator. And because of sin, everything we think, say, and do that is incompatible and antagonistic to a holy and righteous God, we are separated from Him. But Christmas time, we remember that Jesus has flung open the door of salvation once and forever so that we are never shut out, never excluded, never told that we don't belong. By faith, church, by faith we walk through those doors with joy and with confidence and with hope. Hope is here because the divine word gives life to all who believe. So what have we learned today? And how can we apply it to experience hope this Christmas day? We can live with the hope, assurance, and confidence of God's presence in our lives. Finally today, I think theologian, author, Dr. J.I. Packer sums it up perfectly in his book, Knowing God. Packer writes, quote, "The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity, hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, He might hang on a cross," end quote. So would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." I got one more song after that. And then we're going to be dismissed to go enjoy the rest of our Christmas celebration with our friends and with our families. But I want to ask you this morning, are you walking in the light? How about you who are watching? Are you walking in the light? Do you know Jesus or do you just know about Him? Have you invited Him into your heart? Have you given Him a place? You know, we give the innkeeper a bad rap in the Christmas story. But you know something? The innkeeper, he wasn't all dollars and cents. You see, because when Bethlehem was filled up and there was no room in the inn, the innkeeper made a place. Now, you can say, well, it wasn't a suitable place, but he made a place. He found a place. And you know, our hearts this morning may be like that stable, full of unseemly things, as Papa Ken says, things that we don't want to talk about. But you know what? 2,000 years ago, that place was adequate for Jesus to choose, and He chose to come at the time He came to the people to whom He came in the place that He came. And if a stinky old stable was good enough then, it doesn't matter how dirty our hearts are now. You can find room in your life for Him. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be available. And so are you available today? Are you willing to make room in your heart for Jesus? Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the light that continues to shine in darkness, to light the way for men everywhere. And that light is shining brightly today in the hearts and lives of Your people, in the midst of the brokenness of our world. God, might we continue to proclaim that hope is here, and He has a name, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, "O